Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk about all your favorite issues and publishers, but first, a bit of comic book news. Got a couple things this week. First of all, McFarlane Toys has announced a new partnership with Hasbro, a multi-brand licensing deal to create new figures for characters owned by Hasbro, such as Transformers, G.I. Joe, Power Rangers, and Dungeons and Dragons are also mentioned. This is really great for Hasbro, and just to be quite frank, then it leads me to ask why Hasbro had to lay off so many people recently. But I'm not going to get into that, but that's bullshit. We'll just leave it at that. So, moving on. Next up, DC has announced... Okay, so I take this personally. I make it not a very big secret that I'm not a fan of Suicide Squad in this show, and it's almost like DC took it as a personal challenge to say, how can we make Keith buy a Suicide Squad book? Well, DC has announced a new ongoing Suicide Squad book with Dreamer in it. Bastards. This is going to be written by Nicole Maines, so of course I'm picking it up, with art by Eddie Barrows and Eber Ferreira. The team is going to consist of Harley Quinn, Bizarro, Clock King, Black Alice, and Deadeye, in addition to my girl Dreamer. I'm going to buy this. I hate that I'm going to buy it, but I'm going to buy it. So well done, DC. You win. Next up, it's official. After he was found guilty of assault and harassment, Jonathan Majors has been fired by Marvel Studios. I can see where people would say, why didn't they do it sooner? I'm not going to say they should have. I'm not going to say they shouldn't have. I do think that it's a very good sign that as soon as it was legally found he was culpable of something, Marvel let him go. So that's very good. I'm happy to see that that's the case, and I'm curious to see how they're going to react, what they're going to do from here. I have some ideas, but I don't want to sit here and fantasy cast or anything like that. The important thing here is that Jonathan Majors is no longer going to be playing Kang in the MCU. So, final bit of news. I really like the new Punisher series, which is nominated for Emmy, by the way. Go vote. And the new Punisher series is going to be bringing back a classic Marvel super team, but not the one you think of, probably. It is the Night Shift. I'm a big fan of the Night Shift, and I think this is a really cool idea. And I'm looking at the preview. I'm using CBR for the preview, and I am very certain that is Finesse. And that she's not named, and the description doesn't name her at all, but I'm pretty sure that's Finesse, and I love Finesse. Like, one of my most underused comic characters ever. I hope that's her. She's really cool. And yeah, very, very cool. I like this. I like the idea of putting Frank up against a super team pretty, or not Frank, excuse me, the new Punisher, which is, oh my gosh. I know his name. It's Joe, thank you. Joe Garrison, yeah. Putting Joe Garrison up against a super team. I think it's a good way to kind of like establish the character after that first issue of Origin. So I expect them to appear in the next issue, number 2. That is all the news I have. So it is time to start talking about some comic books. And once again, I want to apologize for how long this episode took to come out. It is the holidays. I also wasn't feeling well. A lot went into it. But everything's good now, and the next issue should be out relatively quickly. So not a lot of turnaround between these two issues. But first, let's talk about some comics. And as always, we don't start with a bang. We start with a boom. Boom Studios is my first publisher. And the first book I have is Damn Them All, number 11. As always, written by Cy Spurrier, illustrated by Charlie Adlard, colored by Sophie Dodgson, with assist by Daniel Silva del Carvalho, and lettered by Jim Campbell. This is a really cool issue. If you've been following it, it's a really great series about what if various people on the planet take control of these demons and use them for their purposes. And really, really well done. Great protagonist character, someone that I really clicked with immediately and really appreciate. This one is about basically it taking down an essential like hive mind cult of a demon and exactly how it'd be done. And it's done really cool. I really like the way it's done. I think It's really great, and it's a really bloody issue at parts, which I totally appreciate. And I don't know if we're ending at 12. I don't know. I think this can keep going beyond 12. I haven't heard any announcements. I don't keep up with those things very often, but Damn Them All is really great. We're about to hit another point where you'll probably get a trade, so certainly one to pick up. After that is Zawa and the Belly of the Beast, number 2. Written, illustrated, colored, and lettered by Michael Dialinus. There we go. This is a Remy nominee. I nominated it for most anticipated book because only one issue was out at the time. I love this book. There's a way that Michael creates characters and just visually you just click with them immediately and your heart falls for them. You see it in Wind as well, which is just one of my favorite books. This one, just immediately, this issue is all I needed to just fall for this character and be like, everyone protect her. She's the best. Really great book. It's a boombox book, so it is safe for kids. And I recommend it for everybody, though. Really, really good. I do not regret nominating this for an award. And the final boom book is House of Slaughter 20. This is the finale for the Alabaster arc. And oh, it's grim. Series developed by James Tynion IV, written by Sam Johns, illustrated by Letizia Cadenici, colored by Francisco Segala, and lettered by Ann World's Justin Birch. Yeah, I mean, it ends. It definitely comes to an end, and it's grim. It's Jesus. It's one of the grimmest comics I've read in a long time, and the series just keeps coming back, and it's so good. And I'm really curious to see what the next arc is going to be. Like, are we going to switch to a different mask? Maybe the Azure mask or something? We'll see. But yeah, really sad. Really good, but really sad. Yeah. All right, switching publishers. Now let's talk about Dark Horse Comics. And yeah, I have a couple Dark Horse books this week. First of all, Quick Stops, Volume 2, Number 1. This one is written by Kevin Smith, art by Ahmad Rafat, lettered by Andrew Thomas. This is starting the second volume of Quick Stops. Each one in the first volume were like standalone stories. This one is going to be one overarching story. And it is the origin of Mubi the Cow from, of course, the VSK universe. And I really like the start of it. I think it's fun. I think it plays with a lot of like real world character creation like ideas, but done in a very Kevin Smith VSK universe way. I really, really like it. I thought it was really well done. Very funny. I love the creator. I think she's a great character. I like the dynamic she has. And of course, I like the delight, like the sprinkling of adult content over a child's character. I think that's fun. So very good. I'm in for it. I really, really like the last Quick Stops and really looking forward to this one. And right after that is The Alternates, number 4, the finale. Script by Patton Oswalt, Jordan Blum, and Tim Seeley. Art by Christopher Mitten. Colors by Ian Herring. Additional art and colors by Tess Fowler. Letters by Nate Picos of Blambot. This is the finale, so I'm not going to give away the whole plot, but this has been a really, really great one. And it's only been 4 issues, so this is totally worth picking up, especially if you like Minor Threats. There is another very brief cameo for 2 characters from Minor Threats in this issue. And yeah, let's just say that it does wrap up the story very well. And it's something that I really enjoyed getting to know these characters and exploring this world. There's some really great character development in just 4 issues. I hope this is not the end of the Minor Threats world, because I think it's a world that has a lot of potential and something that I really enjoyed. So again, I hope it's not the end, but we will see. But definitely pick it up. You should be getting a trade. Again, it's only 4 issues, so that's not a huge trade. And I don't think you'll regret it, but read Minor Threats first, because I really, really liked Minor Threats, who was also nominated for an award by me this year. So make sure to check that out. That is all my Dark Horse books of the week. So what we're going to go and do is move on to another publisher. We're going to start hitting a couple one shots real quick. Books I only got one book for, or publishers only got one book for, and starting with IDW. I got one book for IDW, which is Star Trek Picard's Academy, number 3, written by Sam Maggs, art by Ornella Greco, colored by Charlie Kirchhoff, and lettered by Jeff Eckelberry. This is an issue 3. About this point, I don't get too in-depth into the story, because by now you should already be reading it, but this book is so good. It's my favorite Star Trek comic I've ever read. I've never really read too many Star Trek comics, although I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I'm actually in the middle of a Deep Space Nine rewatch, and I'm in season six. And I love it. I love Sam's writing style. I've always really liked Sam Maggs's work. That helps a lot. But I love the art. I love the characters, these like totally unique characters. And I am a sucker for like a school story. I've always been a sucker for that stuff. So totally great. If you are a Star Trek fan, pick it up. You will enjoy it, I promise. All right, next publisher is Mad Cave Studios. And we're going to talk about The Devil That Wears My Face, number 3. I actually got an advanced copy of this, but it was after the last issue came out, or the last episode came out, so I didn't have a chance to review it in advance, but I picked it up when it was new, so let's talk about it. Written by David Mapose, art and colors by Alex Cormack, with lettering by Justin Birch. In the last issue, it was really like a just showcase of the violence and gore that this series could be capable of, which if you're an Alex Cormack fan is not something unusual, but it is kind of like this almost like slasher tale within the Vatican, which I really liked. I thought it was very cool. And then I think this is the perfect issue to follow up on it, because now the cavalry is arriving, you know, like we can't just do 6 pages of just killing a bunch of people. There has to be some opposing force. There has to be some kind of hope. And I think this is done really well. It does bring back the character, obviously, from issue 1, whose body the demon has taken control of. And yeah, I really like this juxtaposition. I like these opposing forces. I think it's a really great, intriguing and like tale. And I really dig it. I think David's done a really great job of writing. And then again, Alex's art is just absolutely great always. So totally worth a pickup if you like a good spooky and pretty graphic tale. Definitely something you want to look into. So. All right, next up, we're going to talk about Vault Comics. And I only got the one Vault book this week, but it's great. Beyond Real, number 1. Written by Zach Kaplan, art by Fabiano Mascolo and Tony Fazula, colored by Jordi Belair and Tony Fazula, and lettered by Hassan Atsmani Alhau. I love when Vault books do something that I don't see coming. When they tell a story that I've not really seen in comics. It might be something that I've seen in other forms. Maybe I read a book or something. Not the same story, but like an arc. But when they put it to comics and they do it in their own unique way with their amazing choice of artists and such, I this is just another hit Vault book for me. A similar way to something like Mindset. If you were a big fan of Mindset and how it just hit and was just amazing and the visuals blew your mind and you didn't know what to do, it's this one. This one's so good. It is about a person overcoming a personal tragedy, but it's also about the concept of what if life isn't real? What if this is a simulation, which is like a cliche thing we hear sometimes, but this is kind of like, what if it is? What if that's the case? How do we deal with that? Well, like what does it mean? What if one person can tell? What are the effects of that? What are the limitations? Like, it's just really interesting. I love the characters right away, both the two main characters. I felt their relationship is very real. It's not a perfect relationship, neither of them perfect people. And we get that in just a couple pages. And it just that development, like, attached me to these characters. I got an immediate understanding of who they are. I could place my friends in these characters, and that helped a lot. But definitely, Beyond Real, number 1, pick it up. You will love it. All right, next up is Image Comic Books. Only got a couple this week. Scrapper, number 6. Story by Cliff Bleszinski and Alex DeCompi. Art by Ryan Kelly and Jordi Belair. Letters by Alex DeCompi. This is the end of the Scrapper run, at least for now. We'll see if it gets into the arc. But yeah, I thought it was really great. I thought it very much built on this cast of characters that started off very small and eventually got to the point where we have like a full-on super team of pets, if you will. And I really liked it. I thought it was a very well-told story, very fun. I think it's something that a lot of kids would probably like this book as well, but it's not exclusively a kids only story. I think it's really well told, and I mean, who doesn't like dogs, right? Like, so very cool, but it does leave a tease for a potential future series, which I am here for. I will definitely be back. So, all right, next up is A Haunted Girl, number 3, written by Ethan and Naomi Sachs, art by Marco Lorenzana, color by Andres Mosa, and letter by Jaime Martinez. This is such a great series. I've really, really enjoyed it so far. And this is just the next, like, amazing installment of this young girl discovering that she can see dead people and that she's the only one who can. And now everything is depending on her. Like, reality might depend on her doing the right thing. And if you read the issue 1, you read the letter from Ethan about the inspiration behind it. And it makes that much more compelling. And this issue is really great because it's her accepting her responsibility, accepting what she needs to do, accepting she needs to help people. And yeah, I really, really like it. I like the idea that she's trying to find the right way to do it. She's trying to find a way to do it because she can't just do it on her own. I also really like the father character. I just love that character. I think he's so well written. There's so much like pain in him and the desire to help, but the knowledge he doesn't know how. And there's so much. I really appreciate that. I really like that writing so much. And the art's really great. It's just some really great, compelling characters and a really great father-daughter relationship that I just love. So 100%, I cannot recommend that book enough. Next up is Rogue Son 17, written by Ryan Parrott, art by Abel and Marco Rena, colored by Natalia Marquez, and letter by Becca Carey. Dylan and his father are still trapped in the stone, and they're trying to get out, and his family is, you know, taking on all these roles to try to stop the bad guys. It's just a really action-packed issue, and I really like it. Again, this is back-to-back books with a really well-written father figure character that I thought was just so well done. It's instantly compelling. I've really, really liked Rogue Son. I think that was Josue's favorite Massiverse book. But it's just really interesting and really cool. And we get a really great moment at the end. It definitely feels like the arc is coming to an end. And I want to see what's going to happen there. I'm still holding my fingers crossed. And I know they haven't made any announcements about this or anything, but I really want a big crossover in the Massiverse. I'm a sucker for big crossovers. So hopefully that'll happen in the future. Finally, Radiant Black 27 and 27.5. Creative teams. Written by Kyle Higgins and Joe Clark. Art by, or pencils by, I should say, Eduardo Federgato and Tobias Deneluz. Let's see here. I'm going back and forth between the two books. Colors by Raul Angulo, Marcelo Costa, and Rod Fernandez. Letters by Becca Carey. Once again, we're continuing the Catalyst War in these two alternate timelines. And this is a challenge that requires a little bit more subtlety. And so it does kind of like put a spotlight on the difference between the two characters. I don't regret who I voted for still. I don't care. But it definitely is interesting. It's definitely something I think has been a good development. And I really want to see what's going to come out of here. And if one world is the real world, are the consequences of that world going to be maintained when reality sets back in? Is what I'll say. Because there's a huge consequence in one of these at the end of it. So we'll see. But I really, really like Radiant Black. I think Higgins, like, launching the Massiverse has been one of the best breaths of fresh air ever. And I can't wait for more. Oh, and also, in one of the issues, Radiant Red makes an appearance, and Radiant Red's my favorite character. So obviously, I loved that. So, all right, switching publishers, let's talk about DC Comics. And I got several DC books this week. So let's jump in. First of all, Danger Street 12, ending with the finale. Written by Tom King, art by Jorge Fornes, colored by Dave Stewart, and letter by Clayton Cowles. I famously did not click with this book at first. I liked it, but I didn't get it. I didn't get what the purpose of it was at first. And I honestly, it was the team. I trusted that the team was going to give me something I would really like. And they did. As I finished this series, I think it's just so well done. I think it's a great use of some characters that do not get used. I think it's a great introduction for characters that are brand new. I think my favorite character out of this book is a new character. Lady Cop is amazing. Just such a, like, to the point that I'm like, how could we possibly bring this character back? Like, I need to know. But yeah, Danger Street nailed the landing. Really well done. Totally a trade pickup if you've not read it yet. So very good. Next up, Speed Force number 2. This one is written by Jarrett Williams, art by Danielle DiNucleo and Francesco Motorino, colored by Andrew Dahlhaus and letter by Dave Sharp. I really like this group. It's a fun like team group, but it's like it's a weird team and it's full of people that I really, really like. I like Avery a lot. I love that character design. I think it's just such a great, cute design and I am here for it. Seeing Roundhouse obviously is really great because I'm a big fan of Titans Academy. I thought that was great. And just lots of Mr. Terrific, which is really great. So lots of fun. It's a second issue. It's kind of setting up the arc. I don't know if this feels like a mini, but I haven't looked. But yeah, if you are a Flash fan or if you like these obscure characters, 100% pick it up. Next up is Wesley Dodds, The Sandman 3. Now, funny story about this one. My comic book store did not have it. And this is one of the reasons that I put this episode out late is that I had to go get it from a different comic book store, which is across town, and I couldn't do it right away. So I got it today and I started recording as soon as I read it. So written by Robert Venditti, art by Riley Rossmo, color by Ivan Placencia, and letter by Tom Napolitano. I will say it again. I love Riley's art in this series. I think it's so cool. I think Riley's style with the Sandman mask is just extra creepy and really interesting. I love this tale of like the morality of the Sandman, and it's a cool angle to take where it's like the unexpected consequences of his actions, I think is really cool. Yeah, it's just really well done. I also like specifically, I want to call it the colorist in this issue doing a great job because at one point he is fighting basically a shadow version of himself. And that can be kind of difficult for people like me who are sensitive to color. I don't see color quite very well. And so the colors did an amazing job of making them distinct enough that I can tell them apart. And I thought that was really cool. I really enjoyed it. I didn't have a moment where I was like, oh, which one's that? No, at no point did I have that problem. It was just really, really well done. And yeah, just a fun story. I'm really liking these Golden Age flashback stories. After that is Action Comics 1060. There's so many stories in this book, so I'll try my best. First of all, there is the New Worlds story, which is the current story with Blue Earth, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, art by Eddie Barrows, Fico Osio, and Eber Ferreira, with Joe Prado and Jonas Trinidad, colors by Matt Herms and Chris Sotomayor, letter by Dave Sharp. I really like this story. I like the Blue Earth and the angle it's taken. I think it's really cool. There's some amazing art in this issue, the story specifically. Yeah, just really, really well done. Also, it does involve a team up of Superman and Constantine, which is always good in my opinion, because they're just so different. I really think that's great. There's a second story, Squad Dreams, written by Nicole Maines and Steve Orlando, art by Fico Osio, colors by Luis Guerrero, and letter by Rob Lay. This is setting up a Dreamer thing that I talked about in the news where she's going to be going to the Suicide Squad, and I'm very excited about it. Very cool, like, solo story to get her kind of in the camp of Waller, who, again, I hate Waller, but I'm going to be buying this. I hate myself. And then a story that is from the point of view of Zod and his son, which is written by Joe Casey, art by David McDade, color by John Calise, and letter by Troy Pateri as well. So very cool. Next up is Green Lantern 6. And when you see the cover I got, I had to. I'm sorry. It's fantastic. Written by Jeremy Adams, art by Zermanico and Scott Godlewski, colored by Romulo Fardo Jr., and letter by Dave Sharp. I loved this book. This is a really great issue, actually. It's one of the best issues so far in the run. Seeing Sinestro, I mean, spoiler alert, it was revealed in the last issue, so you can deal with it. Sinestro wielding red ring energy now is so cool. It's a great idea. And just that fight and how Hal has to overcome the idea and so good. And there's a really great reveal at the end. There's two great reveals at the end, actually. A very familiar character, if you are a fan of the Green Lantern animated series, comes back. And then a reveal about Kilowog and what he's doing on Earth. So just back to back, really great moments. Such a great book. Yeah, just really killing it. For someone who does not like Hal, I've been really enjoying this book. Next up is Batman and Robin 4. Have I mentioned how much I love this book and this run? Because I'm just a big Damian fan. He's great. Written by Joshua Williamson. Art by Mikel Janin and Simone DeMeo. Colors by Jeremy Cox and Romulo Fardo Jr. And letter by Steve Wands. So we get the big reveal that the big bad right now is Man-Bat. And he's transformed into this like Chad Man-Bat form, which is great. Damian and Bruce saving White Rabbit and everything. Really fun. There's like a lightheartedness to the story that I really enjoy. But we also get a peek into Damian's origin story and one of the people that trained him when he was with the League of Assassins. And how they're probably going to tie into his story going forward, which I think is really cool. It also ties into this ongoing story that Damian needs to go to school, which I really like. I thought it's very fun. I always like school stories. You guys know that. And I think it ties in very well. And I'm really looking forward to where this is going to go. I think it's going to be a fun book. Next up is, speaking of fun books, this is not fun, but it's good. Detective Comics 1079, written by Rom V, art by Jason Sean Alexander with Liam Sharp, color by Dave Stewart, and letter by Ariana Mayer. The story of Batman is about to be executed, and this disjointed team that Selina put together to save him tries their best, but at the end of the last issue, we see he gets executed, and it's like, oh shit, now what? It plays off very much like a heist, which makes sense because it's Selina and it's got the cool like heist twist. I thought it was really well done. Something that I love heists, and I was actively thinking like, how are we getting out of this? What's the hook here? And it was good. It wasn't something I predicted. I thought it was very cool. So I thought they're going to use a body double in case anyone's wondering. So yeah, very cool. I love Detective Comics. This has been a really, really great run. After that is one of my favorite books at the end of the year and something I have nominated for an award, which is The Outsiders. This is issue number 2, written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, art by Robert Carey, color by Valentina Tadeo, and letter by Tom Napolitano. This features our new Outsiders team exploring this mysterious storm that's been going forever in the ocean and trying to understand it, because that's what the Outsiders are about, is understanding things. And I think that's cool. Of course, they come across the Challengers of the Unknown, and it's just great. They're such douchebags, and there's such a great dynamic between the two teams, and it really kind of puts the Outsiders into a specific spotlight to show you exactly who they are when compared to this very traditional, very blow things up team. So I really like it. I'm very excited about the future of the Outsiders. I think it's one of the books I'm most hyped for over the next year. And yeah, can't wait. Now let's talk Beast World. Titans Beast World number 2. Doing this one first because it's the order they should be read in. Written by Tom Taylor, penciled by Ivan Reese, inked by Danny Meekie, colored by Brad Anderson, and lettered by Wes Abbott. This is kind of like establishing what the effects of Beast World is right now. And how they've changed since issue 1, obviously. Specifically, it kind of highlights how people are being transformed into animal forms. I love the bit with Animal Man, because one of my first questions was, what's going on with Animal Man? How's he feel about it? I need to see Vixen, too. Just throwing that out there. And I'm not a Vixen fan, but I do. But a lot of this issue really puts a focus on Batman and Dick Grayson and what's going on there. And Batman gets infected. Batman gets transformed. We also get to see the amazing Black Adam Lion combination. It was fucking cool. So good. I want more of that. I want more of that story, please. Hopefully it gets its own spotlight. But yeah, really cool. But that leads directly into the next issue, so I don't want to linger too much. The next issue was Titans Beast World Tour Gotham. So the first story is about this transformed Batman and Dick Grayson trying to keep him contained because Bruce specifically says, don't let me hurt anybody. And I mean, that's a very Dick Grayson thing to do, is stop him. So very cool. It's called The Good Boy, written by Chip Zdarsky, art by Miguel Mendonca, color by Mike Spicer, and letter by Lucas Gattoni. There's a second story about a man who is being haunted by a giant rabbit. And it's written by Grace Ellis, art by Daniel Hilliard, color by Rico Renzi, and letter by Lucas Gattoni. I immediately identified Daniel Hilliard's art as I turned the page, and I'm like, that's Daniel Hilliard. I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's very fun. It's kind of a goofy story, which I really appreciated. So, the next story is a Red Hood story, which I think is really interesting because he basically died a month ago and he's already kind of back. And I just think that's really interesting that they made that choice already. I like it because I love Red Hood, but again, creatively weird. That one is written by Gretchen Felker Martin, art by Ivan Chavrin, and letter by Lucas Gattoni. And the final story in this one is a Helena Bertinelli story, which I love Huntress. I love me some Huntress. So very, very cool. This one is written by Sam Maggs, art by PJ Holden, letter by Lucas Gattoni as well. Oh, no, I do apologize. There is one final one I forgot. Called Wild Thing by Kyle Starks, Kelly Jones, Jose Villarubia, and letter by Lucas Gattoni. And this is a Stephanie story, and I thought that was really cool too. So yeah, great stuff. Lots of Gotham stories for Beast World. So it's been a cool crossover so far. I've been enjoying it. I do want to see what the point of it is. I also just don't believe that Beast Boy's dead. I just don't. I know that's kind of the hook, but I'm like, no, he's not dead. So I don't know. We'll see. All right, time to move on to Marvel Comics, our final publisher of the month or the week. Let's start with some Star Wars. Star Wars, The High Republic, Shadows of Starlight 3. This one, of course, is written by Charles Soule, art by Jethro Morales, color by Chris Sotomayor, and letter by Travis Lanham. This one answers the most important question of all the questions in the world. What happened to Buriaga? So we do get an answer, and luckily our favorite Wookiee Jedi is still alive. And we get to kind of, I love the exploration of the High Republic. And I've thought about it after I read this issue. I took a break from my comics and I kind of sat around and thought, and I was like, I think the High Republic might be my favorite era of Star Wars. I like it more than the originals, definitely. I'm not a prequel fan in the least. And I like the sequels more than most people. But I'm just so intrigued by this. I'm so in love with the fact that there's only like two or three characters that really appear in the High Republic and later. And of course, Yoda obviously is the thing, but I just love this new fresh world where these amazing creative minds, specifically Charles, gets to explore. And it's just such a great run. And I see so many people having petty arguments online about Star Wars, about the prequels versus the sequels. But what we should be talking about is how great the High Republic is. So everybody should be reading it. I'll just throw that out there. Next up is Captain America 4, written by J. Michael Straczynski, art by Lon Medina, colored by Espen Kruzenjern, and letter by Joe Caramagna. So coming out of the last issue, Cap finds himself face-to-face with the emissary, the ultra-powerful, demon-powered guy. And I love when Captain America finds himself overmatched. It's just a really cool, compelling story, because Cap has to react differently than other people. If you're Tony Stark, you build a bigger suit. If you're, you know, Thor, you do some kind of mystic thing to power up. Cap doesn't really have that. Cap has to approach it from an intelligent point of view. He has to call upon his allies. And I think the ability to have friends, the ability to know who to call on, is one of Captain America's biggest strengths. And I think that's, you know, showcased very well in this issue. So I've been enjoying this Captain America run. It's different than the last run, I'm not going to lie, but I've been enjoying it. Next up is Blade 6. I thought this series was over. I misspoke with Blade 5, but I'm very excited it's continuing to go. I thought it was going to be a new series. This one's written by Brian Hill, art by Lee Ferguson, color by KJ Diaz, and letter by Corey Petit. This shows that Blade, in order to complete his mission that he utterly failed at in the first arc, he does have to find a new way to approach the problem. And in this case, he reaches out to Dracula. And I think this is really cool. I think it's the best character development the Marvel form of Dracula has received. And I think it makes it a very interesting story, and it portrays him differently. And it also fundamentally changes Blade in a good way. Very interesting. Also a great tease of a team up at the end. So just really overall, very complete story. I thought was done very well. Next up, low-key, one of my favorite Marvel books right now, White Widow 2, written by Sarah Gailey, art by Alessandro Miracolo, color by Matt Meehan, letter by Travis Lanham. I love Yelena in this book. I love the small-town assassin feel. I like her sassiness. I like the portrayal of the scale of things she likes as she learns about them. There's just so much cute, fun stuff, but also she's such a terrified badass. It's a great balance, and I really hope people are buying this book because it's so good. I want more of her. She's like, if you like her in the MCU, buy this book, please, because I really, really, really want to see more of this character. Next up is the Immortal Thor, number 5. This one, of course, is wrapping up, I guess you could say, the big arc with the Elder God of Thunder and Thor having to find a way to overcome it. And I love when Thor uses his head. Very cool. Written by Al Ewing, art by Martin Kokolo, color art by Matt Wilson, and letter by Joe Sabino. I like the Thor corpse. I thought that was really cool, like the team he got together. And that it was kind of a dodge. It was kind of like a big show to kind of distract from what he was really doing. I thought that was very well done. I like Loki being involved because Loki is just amazing. I love Marvel Loki of the past 10 years. Has been one of the most intriguing characters. And I really like the reference to Avengers Inc., which is a book I love, and the tease of the future because it's involving two characters that I love in the Thor mythology, which is the Enchantress and the Executioner. I really want to see more of this. I think this is going to be a really great arc, this next arc. So if you're not jumped on yet, this is the time to jump on. Next up is Guardians of the Galaxy 9. Oh my God, I loved this issue. Written by Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing, penciled by Kev Walker, with inks by Walden Wong, color by Matt Hollingsworth, and letter by Corey Petit. So whereas the Guardians are going to be defending Grootfall and they're on their way, Mantis has a side mission for her and Gamora that involves going back to Earth. And I really like it. I thought it's fun. We get to figure out more of what's going on with Mantis and why she is the way she is. And we get to dive into Gamora a bit. And I thought this was a really great character study and a really great, like, what they call rare pair, where they take characters that don't necessarily spend time together, just the two of them, and give them time. I thought it was so cool. And the reasoning and the character development and the characters they interact with and everything, just excellently chosen. So yeah, wonderful. Really, really liked it. Next up is Moon Knight 30, which is my book of the week. Of course it is. Written by Jed McKay, art by Alessandro Capuccio, colored by Rochelle Rosenberg, and letter by Corey Petit. I just want to be very clear. Moon Knight is one of my favorite Marvel solo heroes. He always has been. I've liked every run of Moon Knight ever. I just think he's a cool character. I think he's fascinating. I don't think any other Moon Knight run has made me this emotional. And I don't think I've ever enjoyed a Moon Knight run as much as I've enjoyed this run. We are coming to the end. This is the end of this run. Not for the creative team, because they will have a new book. But for this character, potentially, he is done. And I don't know how to feel. I am going to miss him. But Jed and team have done such an incredible job of building this supporting cast. And if you look at that last page, I just got chills. I just now looked at it again and got chills again. The potential where this is going to go is just incredible. I can't express enough how great this book has been. It is the defending champion of Best Marvel Book in our awards, and it's nominated again. So if you agree, go vote. But just what a gift. What a gift this run has been. Jed McKay's never missed for me. I've literally loved everything Jed has ever put out. Once upon a time, I did interview Jed a while ago. I really appreciated it. It's just, yeah, what a book. Book of the week, guys. That being said, I do want to go ahead and say my runner-up for the book of the week is the next book. But this is like a personal thing, so you guys know me well enough. Spider-Gwen Smash, number 1. So I love Spider-Gwen. You guys know it. Written by Melissa Flores, penciled by Anid Balam, colored by Fer Cifuentes Sujo, and inked by Elizabeth D'Amico, letter by Clayton Cowles. We're starting a new arc with Spider-Gwen and the Mary Janes, her band, and we're going to focus on them and they're going to go on tour. They got this tour offer with Dazzler's Band, which is amazing. And I love the members of Dazzler's Band. I won't spoil it. You'll have to read it for yourself. But just, it's just fun. I love the idea of going on tour and all these problems on tour and dealing with the personal relationships, because I think as of late, I think Spider-Gwen books have been so good at balancing the Gwen's personal relationships are struggling because of her superheroics better than Spider-Man books. And I think that's so cool. I really like it. I bought three covers because I'm a fucking insane person. But yeah, this is my runner-up book of the week. It's so good. Next up is Miles Morales, Spider-Man 13. We're going to drop into Gang War now, guys. Written by Cody Ziegler, art by Federico Vicentini, colored by Brian Valenza, and lettered by Corey Petit. Straight out of the Blade crossover, we are dropping in on Miles protecting Brooklyn during Gang War. I think it's really, really cool. He gets in a middle of a fight between Frost Pharaoh and like the, I don't even know what they're called. Are they called the Swarm or whatever? The bad guys that he's familiar with. And it's just very funny. They have a big fight. He does this thing. We get some Misty Knight and Colleen Wing appearances, which is really cool because it's kind of like putting emphasis on the wedge that's between Peter and Miles, in that Miles can depend on Colleen and Misty, but not necessarily Peter. It also puts a pretty heavy focus on his new sword, which is really cool. There's an awesome moment, very samurai moment, that I thought was really well done. Just, yeah, really cool. I like to see him defending Brooklyn, and there is a tease of an additional character, a bad guy coming into play that is, I mean, obviously very Miles related, if you know anything about Miles. So very cool. Which leads us to Gang War Daredevil number one, written by Erica Schultz, penciled by Sergio Davia, inked by Sean Parsons, colored by Ceci de la Cruz, and lettered by Clayton Cowles. Now, since they're both active again, I'll just clarify, this is the Electro Daredevil, and is her job to defend Hell's Kitchen. And in this case, her main focus is taking down the Heat, which is this gang of cops, these corrupt cops. And she's doing a pretty good job of it when she's confronted by a new foe, is what I will say. Now, I have some theories, but we'll get into that later. And it's just like a true assassin and killer. She recognizes her as somebody that, you know, does not screw around. I think that's really interesting. I cannot wait to see the fights between these two. Very cool. We also get an appearance by the Owl. Owl being like, hey, I don't care about this gang war. I'm not interested in snatching up a bunch of property. I just want to make business with whoever survives. I'm like, yeah, that's the Owl. That's 100% the Owl. So very, very cool. And the final Gang War book is Gang War Luke Cage, number two, written by Rodney Barnes, art by Ramon Box, colored by Andrew Dahlhaus, and lettered by Travis Lanham. This is Luke finally gathers together his team, which is himself, Jessica, of course, the Danny Rand without the Iron Fist, and Cloak and Dagger. And I love Cloak and Dagger, and I'm so excited to see them in a book. I really like this. I like the idea of this being a team. Like, this could be the new Heroes for Hire. I think that I would be down with that after this crossover. But very cool. I like seeing them do what they can in this situation. I do think it's kind of weird how many cops are just like, you know, you're under arrest for helping me. But obviously, I mean, cops are gonna, you know, enforce the law, but it seems really silly. Not that it's the writer's fault. I'm sure that's a directive from Marvel or something like that, but it's silly. I think it'd be weird. Like, literally, the city is under attack. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah. After that is Dark X-Men 5. Let's talk about our Krakoa books, or our X-Men books, since Krakoa doesn't exist anymore. Written by Steve Fox, art by Jonas Scharf, colored by Frank Martin, and lettered by Clayton Cowles. Maddie is taking back the Limbo Embassy, and we get a lot of stuff resolved in this issue. I think it's very interesting. Maddie fighting her Goblin Queen counterpart. We get the conclusion of what's going on between Azazel and Implate. We get some stuff with Faint. Zero gets some weird moments that I thought was really cool. A lot going on there. But of course, it is Maddie's book at the core, and she stays true to herself. I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. We're getting closer to the fall of X. I don't know what to do with myself. Speaking of which, X-Men Red 18 is our final book of the week. This is so epic. It should have been my book of the week, but Moon Knight, guys. Written by Al Ewing, art by Ildare Senar, color by Federico Blee, and letter by Ariana Mayer. It's the war. It's the war for Eriko, and it all comes down to it. And we have all these, you know, personal battles. We have the two islands fighting each other. We have Storm versus Genesis. We have John Ironfire in one of the coolest fight scenes ever. We get to see the final fate of the Fisher King. Like, there's so much that happens in this issue, and it's so well done. I love this book. God, X-Men Red's been incredible. Like, a lot of people are voting for it for X-Men Book of the Year on our awards, and they should. It probably will win, to be honest with you, but I still think that's understating how good this book is. It's just really, really good. Everybody should be reading it. Well, that's it. Those are the issues that I had this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. You can find Josue at Josue Reads Josue. You can find the show at WHI Podcast on Twitter. On there, this is the best way to keep up with us, at least until Twitter explodes. Every time a new episode comes out, you'll get an announcement with a link, a list of every issue reviewed, and timestamps for each publisher. It is the best way to keep up with us. Make sure to follow our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo. This is our musical show where we are doing various episodes about different music subjects and just general discussions. Our most recent one is about the music of the 80s and why does it get such a bad rep. The next issue will be about holiday music and should come out fairly soon. So make sure to follow us at Jukebox Vertigo on Twitter. Also, make sure to follow our network for Jukebox Vertigo, Certain POV, at Certain POV Media on Twitter and at certainpov.com, and join the Discord. We have a lot of great people in the Discord. We have a good time talking about every nerdy thing you can possibly imagine, and everybody just treats each other with respect, which is more than I could say for pretty much every other Discord I'm in. So finally, follow my co-host Josue on Twitch at Josue Plays Josue. He's not playing right now, but if he comes back after his hiatus, I'm sure he'll be really happy to see a lot of new followers. He will really, really appreciate that. Don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week with a new batch of beautiful books. So stay safe and read more comics.
Are you tired of watching your beloved characters being tortured by careless authors?
Are you sick of feeling like they could have swapped out all of the painful action and the plot would remain untouched? Subscribe to Books That Burn, a fortnightly book review podcast focusing on fictional depictions of trauma.
We assume that the characters' reactions are reasonable and focus on how badly or well they were served by their authors.
Join us for our minor character spotlights, main character discussions, and favorite non-traumatic things in the dark books we love.
Find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.